This is Climate Justice, Y'all, a podcast dedicated to lifting up and centering the climate and environmental justice movement in the South. Despite the South being the most biodiverse, diverse, and one of the largest economic engines in the world, we are underfunded and often barred from the decision-making table. Because of that, we decide to pull up a chair and amplify the stories of communities in the South hit the hardest by the climate crisis.
We're using good old-fashioned storytelling to shine a spotlight on these Southern leaders from all walks of life, putting in their blood, sweat, and tears to transform the region. The usage of y'all in the title is on purpose. We are honoring our Southern heritage of creativity, resilience, and ingenuity.
All right, y'all, it is season two of Climate Justice, Y'all. Let's get started.
All right, Ms. Marsha Jackson, how are you today?
I am doing great. How about you?
I am wonderful. So to start the podcast off, we always just ask our guests just to introduce yourself, give us your name, the nonprofit or whatever organization that you may work with, and a little bit about your journey, your story. So go ahead, take lead.
Okay. My name is Marsha Jackson. I am the co-chair of Southern Sector Rising here in Dallas. That organization was developed and founded by me because of the shingle mountain that occurred through my home, which is environmental injustice issue that caused a lot of health issues. As you hear me continue talking, you might hear my voice fading away. So I just want to let you know about that up front, because that is some of the issues that I have because of this environmental justice that we have been fighting here in Dallas.
Okay. So I'm so sad to hear that you have to go through this. I'm happy that you're working on this, that you founded an organization to take care of yourself and along with others. Can you go ahead and just like tell us what shingles is, just for people who may not know, and
sure.
Some of like the side effects and whatnot that come from it?
Sure. The shingle mountain, it was formed from 180,000 tons of roofing shingles. Roofing shingles that come off your home. So just imagine when people go back and replace that, they were repairing the shingles from the home that was just dumping it right next to our home. And people thought that Shingle Mountain had been there for years. It had not been there for years. It only arrived for like 3 months. And so that you can imagine how fast they were taking it. So therefore, they first started right first 100 feet less than from my bedroom. And they knocked our fence down. Our horses got out and they blocked all the creek. We have a creek there. They blocked that and caused flooding back there. So those shingles, you know, it has all the pollutants in it. So just imagine all the bird poop and all the animal poop from those shingles being on your home at least 10, 15, some 20 years old. And it smelled just like it was roofing. It was pavement burning in the summertime. And you know, roofing shingles have fiberglass in it also. And that caused a irritant. They were supposed to be in recycling it. They never did recycle anything. They were just getting in for the money. And they started grinding up, but they never did do anything. And those ground up shingles were airborne. And that's caused some of the health issues we have. You asked about the health issues. I tell people all the time, this is the heaviest I ever been in my life because of all the different kind of medicine that I was taking and still taking. Never been to a pulmonologist before, and this is my first time going through a pulmonologist also in my life.
Okay, so it sounds like you were there before the shingle mountain was like even became a thing.
Oh yes, I have been in my home since 1995, 25 years. Shingle mountain only arrived January 2018. And it not only affected me, it affected my neighbors and the community also. Just like I was saying about affecting me, the little babies in the community, one of them had to go to the hospital. So just imagine that we couldn't even walk outside our home. And as you hear the raspy in my voice, then my vocal cords have always been affected now. This is going to be a permanent fixture that we just don't have any kind of, they don't have any kind of, I guess you say, cure for that right now. And it's just, it's horrible. Really, it is.
So how many like neighbors, community people have you lost from this?
We didn't lose any. We decided we are not going anywhere. We've been there longer than that company have. We lost the company. They finally made the company move. But you know, what really bothered me though, even though they made that company move, they went to court Let me tell you, I called the city of Dallas, which we were supposed to have been doing, the 311, report anything we have when it first happened. 2 weeks after, never did get anything, nothing happened. So that was in February. I called my city council in March 2018. Never got a return phone call. None whatsoever. So we continue advocating what did happen after we made phone calls. And you probably imagine what does happen, that the city tried to retaliate. So they were trying to come out by zoning issues instead of doing anything with the company. So in, we continue going on in September 2018, we had a flood. And it rained so hard, they were putting shingles and trees and tires and everything in the creek so they could drive back and forth. So by the rain is so hard, it blocked the flow of the creek. So it flooded our back. My neighbors lost two horses, you know, in between all this stuff. And still again, nothing happens to them. Even the judge had said, well, she think they're trying to do everything they could, that they really were trying to work and do something. She just kept giving them more time and more time. I think they all friends, you know. And she said it wasn't light enough to be airborne. And I told her, I opened up my bag. She can come in my bag. I have 2 acres. She can come back there and camp out and she can see the effects we have. So right. They retaliated so much because my community is Black and brown. Mm-hmm. And we really didn't know the citizenship of my neighbors. So they selected me as being a spokesperson. That's the reason why if you Google Marsha Jackson and Shingle Mountain, you'll see my name mostly on everything because mm-hmm. I really didn't care. This was about my community, my family, you know, and my health. So it really didn't make any difference anymore.
Wow. So you've been in your home for years, decades even. And so was that the home that you were advocating for years? As well?
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
So how long before you seen some type of change occur? Like
after Shingle Mountain, okay. And they finally made them it started in 2018. Mm-hmm. So Robert Walonski, his Dallas Morning News reporter, came out and he wrote an article December 2018. That's when the city came out, said they didn't know anything about it. And they made them cease business. They ceased business. And on January the 2nd, 2019, they started back. And the city called and they asked me, and I said, well, I thought y'all let them start it. No, they came back. So they had another cease, but they also, they violated that injunction because in March I was sitting there working. They was working, they come and work late at night. Mm-hmm. And I recorded that. So yeah, they made them really kind of close down, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the Shingle Mountain didn't really move until February 2021. They just moved it. You know, even though they moved the Shingle Mountain from that property, we still have so many environmental injustice issues in my District 8 that we also submitted that and they retaliated again. They did nothing to the business that don't have SUP, special use permit, or certificate mm-hmm. occupancy. They still come to the home. So a lot of this is racist zoning. Right. You know, people don't understand that because it's a Black and brown community. None of that stuff will happen in our white neighborhood. You know, so they did move it in February 2021, but they also had assessment. During that assessment, they found out the property has heavy lead on the property. That's another thing that we've been advocating because we live in a flood zone. And you know that being in the flood zone and then that creek is there, that water's just gonna flow on down with all those pollutants and chemicals on there and start it back. Well, the city also, they gained property, ownership of their property because they end up suing them and the property owner, not the owner of the company. They just walked away with nothing. City didn't force them to do anything. Mm-hmm. They supposed to been paying $500 a day until it was cleaned up. They didn't. They didn't force that $500. So the property owner had to pay $1 million to the city of Dallas. And they were the one that paid the contractor to move it. So now we were advocating for the cleanup this property just 3 weeks ago that the city manager said he found money to remediate the property. Still again, we're excited about that, but it took almost four years for our health to continue being affected, right. Advocating and pushing and for our voice. But then again, even though finding this $2.5 million to clean up that property, which it might not be enough, it won't start until June of next year.
So yet again, the government, law officials, and all of them have proven that they just do not care about
it. Hell, exactly. And you know, I tell them that when it's residents, community health is involved, that should be the number one priority. But just because our community is black and brown, it was just like we were just overlooked, you know. So since we also advocating that, our next step is advocating for a park for floor forms. And I southern port and Dallas, we don't have anything in our area like that. We don't even have sidewalks, and that's terrible. You know, some people in my community don't even have high speed. I have high speed because I have a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. And a Spectrum played that contractor themselves for that. We don't even have public transportation. Mm-hmm. Not alone that, we don't have any grocery stores in our area. So it's a lot of things here, but you see the elected officials now, they push a lot for economic development and infrastructure, but what's wrong with pushing for the health of the community? And that's what I'm advocating for.
So how far are you traveling to go to your nearest grocery store?
I go in the suburb, it's like 25 miles, and that's terrible.
Yes.
That is, it's terrible.
That's horrible. Okay, so what are some lessons that you've learned through your advocacy, through your years?
And the honesty, to be the truthful, every last one of my elected officials were black. I supported them in their campaign. I had not one of them supported me. Now, one commissioner wrote a letter when I first started that they need the help, but not one of them. But now after it started being national, then they want to come around and say they want to help, but they wasn't ever there. And I also need to tell you that not only here in my community, we have, and I'm on a CAD, we have a lane-plated superphone this year, and it's not even 3 miles away from my home. And all these kind of issues, environmental justice issues here in Dallas, you know, that we're fighting, this is another, it's a Superfund site, EPA labeled Superfund site. They've been having that since 2015 and nothing has been done. They steady talk about testing, but they have not gone over there and cleaned that property. And that's another thing that we continue advocating for, that they need to speed up and do a more priority when it's closer to black and brown communities.
Oh my goodness, this is horrible. The fact that y'all even have to go through this, the fact that it's children coming up in this, wow. I know like the asthma, all of that, like the health,
it's
affected horribly there in the community. Can you speak on some of like the other health issues that y'all have?
Yeah, the asthma, I have a 13-year-old granddaughter, Lulu, with me. And we had to up her asthma medicine because of that. And you know, people always say that they complain about COVID having to stay in, but my community had to stay in way before COVID. Right. We've been having to stay in our home since 2018. So just imagine that. They gave another company right next door to me that when they moved those shingles, they didn't assess the property. Those people just put the ground up. They moved the ground up shingles, but they put white rocks on top of that. So as you know, any transportation on top of that, that's just gonna make the pollutants airborne. So it made the ground up fiberglass airborne. It made our skin itchy. And I don't know if you ever been around fiberglass. That's exactly what it does. That it irritates your skin. It getting your throat, and that's the reason why we have these issues with our vocal cords. You know, we was coughing up the black smut. You know, not only my granddaughter, but my neighbors' kids, they still have the same problem with asthma. I went to the doctor, and my family doctor was telling me, have you had asthma before? But sound like you begin to have asthma. I'm 64 years old, and I never did have these issues before this. And I want to continue being right here for my kids and my grandkids and great-grandkids to grow up. And that's the reason why we moved into a rural area, to have our horses there, our animals there, and grow our gardens. But then, since 2018, our life has changed drastically. It really has. just to continue to strain, you know, doing things that you want to, even just the strain of your voice and talking. And that hurt us a lot also.
So what advice would you give to the people living in environmental justice communities, frontline communities, wanting to stand up against polluters?
You know, this everything that I'm going through now, it motivated me to continue studying for my doctorate of public administration, so I can be able to talk the way I need to talk and talking to these elected officials. Don't back down. No, exactly. You got to be. You also have to be uneducated on your zoning problems, because a lot of things that we also find out when we brought these issues out, they say, "Well, because of the zoning you're in, they can do exactly what they do." That was untruthful. I live in an agricultural area zone, but right next to me is IR and IM, which is heavy industrial zoning. So I don't care, even though they're next to us, they can't be so many feet to residents. Right. They still have to have a special use permit, and they still have to have a certain CO. So anybody that's going through these, they need to also understand their zoning, you know, understand their permit, and you need to be able to be understanding who to go talk to. Don't back down. This is your community, your life, this is your family. And if we don't speak up for ourselves, who else will do that?
Right. Right. So what are some ways to stay informed, like, about your community and, like, the zoning permits and things like that? How can you get in the know about that?
My organization is Southern Sector Rise, and what we did, we represent districts 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 in the southern part of Dallas. These are the heavy polluted areas. We have people that's reached out to us now from different area cities, and we try to reach out and help wherever we can. We're southernsectorrising.org on our webpage. We also on Facebook. We also on Twitter and on Instagram. And as they can see, they can Google my name, Marsha Jackson, Shingle Mountain, and you can find my contact information when you Google. And we're there to help, because I just find out so much fighting environmental justice that it's people not educated on the environmental justice on EJ. And that's what we need to have. We had a meeting with Dr. Nancy, EPA, and she sounded very interesting and concerned about the community, and that's a plus what we really hadn't been having, you know, before. And those things I tell the city now, y'all need to start a meeting that y'all did wrong. You know, admit that y'all did wrong, admit that y'all harm us, and then we start working together and moving on. But they need to start bringing in grassroots people to be able to tell them what actually they're doing wrong. What bothers me that I do see that what I've been fighting, I have made also here in the city, and I'm sure not only just in Dallas, the councils, their goal, elected officials put people on these committees and boards to work on things, but they don't have any kind of background, no kind of education on what they're doing. Get grassroots people, talk to them and have a conversation, because we're going to continue fighting until we make a change. Because I tell them all the time that maybe that's the reason why they keep doing things, because they know it's affecting my vocal cords to shut me down. But as long as they have sign language or whatever I can write, you will not shut me down. You're going to continue hearing my voice, because I just don't want something. I don't want anybody to go through what I've been going through.
Yeah, you might be onto something. You're right. They might be doing that just so that they can shut you up.
Yeah, might be.
Okay, so before we end this off, we always ask our guests just this last simple question. What gives you hope? What keeps you going? What keeps you in this fight? What keeps you in your community fighting for your frontline community?
A change keep me going. Like I said earlier, I just don't want anybody else to continue going what I'm going through. We have another campaign now that we're working with here in Dallas called Singleton United GAF, and that's a shingle factory. And when I went over there, when she called me, it was no further than where my property is from where they, and it's just a shame, because that factory is near the residence, near homes, and we have to continue working on each other and fighting as a whole, as a community. Mm-hmm. So yes, that's my dream, my hope, to move some of these illegal companies that's bringing all these pollutants in here and causing harm to the residents. No more harm to our body because of that.
Ms. Jackson, I enjoyed talking to you today.
Thank you.
To thank you so much for just sharing your story with us and fighting for your community and others that are similar to it.
Thank you so much. Yes.